Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
There you go. He's worthy of full-time praise.
Amen.
Not just when you get in the mood or when you show up in church.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
He's worthy of our praise. Yes. So we would say that part of the command to take up your cross and follow him would be to be to praise.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know that we need to do a whole lot more than that. I'm also thankful that Pastor Justice is here. The Lord's really been speaking to me this morning, and I don't know how many times I came close to just saying, you know, you're going to have to sit there. You're just going to have to sit there. But he told me what he's got to talk to us about this morning, and he's not going to have to sit there. He needs to talk to us. Amen?
Amen.
Total agreement and in line with what I believe God's trying to say to us. And I am sorry that the place is not full. Got a lot of people out and a lot of people that should be here. You know how that goes. But if you'll come forward, we're ready to hear from God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Come on up here. We've already prayed a couple times, and we're going to do that publicly, so you'll agree now. Amen? I know that this is a man of God. I know this is a man of God. Y'all can say amen. That's part of praising the Lord. If you've run into a man of God, then to acknowledge him is praising the Lord, right?
Amen.
Amen. We want to honor him this morning with our attention. We want to honor the Lord by listening. You know what that means, listening? That means not tolerating his speech. That means eyes wide open, hungry for what you know God's going to bring out of him.
Amen?
Amen. So, Father, we're in agreement now. You've heard the desire of our heart, that you touch him and you move him, and we ask one other thing, Lord. As he ministers and we receive revelation, give him revelation. As we receive excitement through the Holy Spirit of the living God, excite him. Make him a better man for ministering to us here today. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Bwana asifiwe. I always remind you that when I come back. Bwana asifiwe is praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's in Swahili. So I'm blessed to be here. I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much, Pastor Stan, Sister Connie. And the church to receive me. First of all, I really want to thank God for you, for your continuous prayer and support for the work back in Bungoma, Kenya. And I think just before I bring forth the word, I'd like to just give you a little update of what is going on, so that we can know. Know where your prayers are going and what the Lord has done through your prayers. 2 years ago, I was here, and you were in a different church. Praise the Lord, you're in a new church today.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Lord. I just learned not to make any joke in America, and to be careful what I say, because last time I remember I said something about American being spacey, and you people laughed at me. I went later on telling people where I've been and how I don't need to make, how I need to know how to express myself. Some of the words are not, don't register actually. And the jokes don't make sense at all. So I'm very careful on that. The Lord has done great things. We thank you so much for your continued support and prayer. This ministry supports us. You pray for us. You have helped us to do so many things and to move and touch many lives. Since I was here 2 years ago, I was talking about the completing the orphanage, the children's home. And right now we have completed the children's home. Actually, it's usable. Moved in the boys. We have 14 orphans, and you receive our newsletters. We just thank God for what He has done. First of all, we are having actually two ministries as far as the children are concerned. We have the street children, which we feed every day. Then we have orphans that we put in the home. So we can house up to 68 children, but we didn't want to move fast. We're going step by step. At the same time, the government also wants us to expand on the land. Our land is very small, actually, just where the building is. So we can't have many, many children without a place of playing, a playing ground, and things like that. So still we don't have electricity in the house. It's all wired, but the government wants a lot of money for electricity. So we put a pause on that little bit. But still, the house is used even without electricity. Amen. So we thank God for that. You have helped us to do that, and we just want to thank you so much. Thank you so much for helping us to touch the lives of those children. Many of those children are actually not many. All of them don't have parents. We took in total orphans. Because talking about orphans, there are so many orphans. So we are taking in total orphans, meaning the father and mother are dead. And we are not taking in the children that have guardians. If they have a brother that can help or a cousin or someone who can help them, we don't take them in. We are taking in the children who really don't have any help at all. They're abandoned. There's no way for them to go forward. And so these are children we are taking and ministering to. So we thank you so much for that. In the past year, we also, we have the Bible school. We train people from different places, from villages, from all over, train them in the Word of God. And in the last year, we also moved out to plant churches. We did around 9 churches last year, church planting. And this year we've done 5, and we have 3 more to go towards the end of next month. And December we are planting 3 more churches. So we're helping out these students who are coming out, and they want to take the gospel to the villages. We go out in the village, preach the gospel there, start a fellowship. They are just small churches, not very big churches. They're just starting small, but they're growing. What we thank God about is that we are able to reach the places where the gospel is not preached, it's not reached yet. You know, we have a lot of religion. You know, we have Catholicism. Catholicism is everywhere, but that's not being born again. So because you can be in that church and at the same time you are doing whatever you want to do. They allow you to do anything you want to do as long as you're in the church. But we preach the word. Get people saved. People change their ways of living. People leave tradition. People come out of those covenants. Break from covenants. Break away so they can live for God. And so we thank God for what the Lord is doing in that area, in the church planting. And so we are more into church planting. We are more into evangelism and training people, raising up ministers, raising up laborers for the harvest. And so that's what we are doing. We thank God that the Lord has blessed the Bible school so much that right now we don't have enough room. For borders, you know, people coming from far. In the last year we had 13 students from Tanzania. We have students from Uganda. We've trained people from Sudan, from Rwanda, from Congo, from the neighboring countries. And so the room, we don't have enough room to contain them. But we thank God that, you know, the little that we're having, one step at a time, step by step. And the Lord is doing great and mighty things. So thank you so much. Thank you so much again. We cannot thank you enough for what you have done and the blessing you've been to us from New Life Church of Denver. You know, one thing about it is because you have continued to bless us all the time. I mean, continuously. And that has really helped us to move forward and do many things for the Lord. Amen. What you give here goes a long way. Amen. Does a lot of things. I mean, touches many lives. Amen. And so we are so grateful. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Well, I'm in America for a few weeks. From here, I'll go to Glenwood Springs, then to Vegas. And someone said, Vegas? What are you going to do in Vegas? The last time I told someone I was going to Vegas, he said, no, we'll withhold our offering. We'll not give you an offering if you're going to Vegas. I said, well, I think there are also some good things God is doing in Vegas. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, this morning the Lord laid upon my heart, you know, I've been waiting upon what I should share. And I will not tell you, you know, that I came really, you know, this is the word God gave me when I was home for the church of New Life Church of Denver. But as I've been waiting last night and the day before and last night, I heard the Lord putting a stirring of the things that the Lord has been doing in our lives, in my life, and in our church. The word the Lord has given me, the word I've been sharing, I just felt, well, if it's good for Bungoma, I believe it's good for Denver.
Yes.
And I know the Lord can speak to us because you can't give what you don't have.
Right.
You can only give what you have. You can only minister out of the abundance of your heart how the Lord has ministered to you. And so I want to read from the scripture of the book of Ezra, chapter 1. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We want to move higher in God.
Yes.
Move higher in God. And that's Ezra, chapter 1. Did I pronounce it right?
Yes.
Okay. If I don't pronounce it right, you just go like this and I'll say it in English. It says, now, in the first year, I'll begin from verse 1 to 5. The first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord, by the mouth of Jeremiah, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom, and also put in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is Judah. Who is among you of this? Of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build a house of the Lord of Israel, he is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, and goods and livestock, beside the freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Then the heads of the father's house of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all whose heart God had moved rose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is Jerusalem. Now, this scripture is talking about the days when, actually, this by the word of that the words of the prophet Jeremiah might be fulfilled. You know, this is when they had been in captivity for 70 years, and the prayers have been made, and the word of the Lord had been fulfilled. The spirit of the Lord came upon Cyrus. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, so that he may build the house of the Lord. Now, when you read go on, you read on, you find that when God wants to do something new, when God wants to begin a work, when God wants to begin, maybe change direction, because we can be having, you know, going this way and God wants to lead us through a different direction. God stirs up the hearts of people. And God begins with the stirring up the hearts of the leaders. That's where God begins. He begins with the leaders. He begins by stirring up their hearts so that they can impart the same which they have received in the lives of others. Praise the Lord. And so the Lord stirred up the heart of Cyrus. And Cyrus spoke the word of the Lord. He said, who is among you that is willing to go? Who is among you that is willing to go? And then the Bible says that when the Cyrus was stirred up, the hearts of the elders were stirred up, and then the people were stirred up. Yeah. So it begins with the leaders, then the leaders, and then the people, and then the whole thing changes. So God stirred up the hearts. And then we find a man called Zerubbabel. We find Joshua, the high priest, whose heart was stirred up. They came and said, we are going up to build the house of the Lord. Yes. There's something that the Lord is doing in our hearts. You know, when the Lord wants to do what he wants to do, he will do it. And one thing I found out with me as a minister is many times when I don't listen to God, he uses someone else. Yeah. If the Lord gives me a word to say and I don't say it, someone else will say it and I will miss the opportunity to be used. God, when God wants to fulfill his purpose cannot be stopped by anyone.
Right.
If you can, if you postpone and you say, I'll do it another time, then God will use someone else to do it now. Because when God will do it when he wants to do it. Before his timing, he will not do it. But when his timing comes to do what he wants to do, it shall be done. It shall be done. He is God, and he shall fulfill his will. So the Lord, we see here the Lord stirring up the people. And what's the Lord doing in the church today? God is stirring up our hearts to move higher in him. He's stirring up our hearts so that we might... his will can become our will. His purpose can become our desire so that we can fulfill that which he wants to fulfill. God is stirring up the heart of the church. Yeah. God is stirring up the heart of the church. And I want to give an example of the stirring. And the scripture that I can give is from Deuteronomy 32:11. And 12, it says, as an eagle stir up the nest, fluttering up her young, spread abroad her wing, taketh them, buried them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. When God was moving the children of Israel, the Bible says, the Lord spread his wings and they rode on his wings. In the dry sea, yeah. I mean the dry land, yeah. in the sea, the Lord spread his wings and he carried them. The scripture, he says that he carried them to the other side. Now, right here, he talks about how the eagle stirs up the nest, and fluttereth over her young, and we can learn from the eagle. The mother eagle, when she wants her children, or father eagle, they want the children to learn to fly. In the nest, they must destroy the nest. And the nest must be destroyed. And so that the eaglets will not be comfortable in the nest. They remove all the feathers and throw away the feathers. So you remain with the sticks. So if you're going to be in that nest, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Yes. Right.
And so she does that first. So there's nowhere to stay. You have to move on. And that's what God does with us.
Yes.
He wants us to move on.
Yes.
He stirs up our hearts.
Right.
And we better move when there's a stirring.
Yes.
Because when there's a stirring, that's when there's a miracle. Oh, hallelujah. The man at the booth of the pool of Bethesda. That's good enough. Thank you, Pastor. He was there. And the Bible says the angel will come to that place and stir up the water. And the first person to jump into the water was healed. After the angel stirring the water, the first person that jumped in was healed. And it was so, except for this man who was there for 38 years because he couldn't help himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and healed him. But you see something about stirring, that God stirs up the hearts of the people. Now, what happened in those days when he stirred up the hearts of the people? He stirred up the heart of the heart of Moses. And he gave them a sign. He gave them the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. When it was time to move, when the pillar went up, they knew it was time to move. You either move or remain. There are two things. If you want to remain, you'll be killed by the Amalekites. If you move on, you move into the purposes of God. You move into where God wants you to go. If you remain behind, you are left for the enemy. If you move forward, God stirs up our hearts so that we can move higher with Him. God stirs up our hearts so that we can leave our familiar ground, a place where we are familiar with, you know, things we are used to, things we want to do all the time, things we know this is the way it works, but it never works all the time. We've gone to places, I've preached in places, and I've always known that if to pray for people to receive the Holy Ghost, you lay your hands on the people. The place we went to this high school, preaching to the children. You know, in Kenya, we are allowed to. In fact, there are so many invitations to preach to the high school children, kids. And you can do that, every weekend if you want to. And here, our preaching and talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the way I was going to do it that day is that after I have preached, I'm going to call people to come forward, and I'm going to lay my hands on them, and they will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when I was still talking, just like in the Bible, there came one person, like in that group right there. They began speaking in tongues uncontrollably. And that group there, it was like that. And then the whole place blew up, and children were speaking in tongues. And people are speaking in tongues, people are praying, and I say hallelujah. So it's not the method, It's not the method. God can do His work in His own way. Recently we had a crusade in Nairobi. That was the end of August. We had one of the greatest crusades we've ever had, actually, in our ministry. We never had a crusade like that. As a way we go out and preach we just put out the instruments and begin singing, and people come. And this crusade had a lot of opposition from beginning. The vehicle that our brother gave us to take us to the crusade, that's 400 kilometers away, began overheating just 20 kilometers. And we didn't have another way, so we had to go. So it took us 2 days to get to this place. And so many things happening. The spring broke. As we move on, the car was overheating. As we move on, the brake pads in the front fell. So just many, many, many things. And people were having these funny visions about accidents, about even before the meeting. So we prayed about the meeting. Cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. You know, the enemy tries to bring whatever. Thank God, God overpowers him already. Amen. And God, He overpowers the enemy. So we made it to this crusade, And this choir had so many opposition. You get up to preach, you don't feel, you just feel like the air is different. You know, it just goes back to you. This is not the way we are used. You know, we get up and you begin to preach, you feel you're flowing. And people respond, people come for prayer. And it's not, it was not like that in that crusade. It was a different ground altogether. So I get up, I preach, and I preach, and nothing happens. I said, hey, what's going on? I said, okay, we go back to prayer. So in our rooms, we went by where we were staying with our team. We went back to praying. We prayed, we prayed. The Lord showed us some things. We were praying over those things. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, nothing's like nothing was happening. If someone came to the Lord, maybe 2-3 people, that's unusual. We usually have like 50 people, 100 people. More than that, 200 people coming to the Lord. In this crusade, nothing. Just a handful of people. So there's something wrong. The last day, we were planting a church. On that Sunday morning, we went to the church. And we ministered. We just sang. And then I got up and we were sharing. I was just sharing. Sharing. You know, there's times you share and you feel you've really preached. And the times you share, you say, well, I don't know if I preach today. And that day, the Spirit of the Lord, I just talked, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon the children. And asked people to come for prayer, and the children came for prayer. And the children filled up the, you know, the place, and they began to cry. They were sobbing. 2, 3, 5, 9, 12 year olds. So we just carried them and we were praying for them. We were also crying. Everyone was crying. I mean, it was, we say, Lord. And that touched our lives so much. And it touched the lives of the people that were there. People came for prayer. And that's how a breakthrough happened. In the evening of the crusade, that was the last day of the crusade, the outdoor meeting, we went out. I mean, we had a big crowd, the biggest crowd we've ever had in our crusades. Amen. They wonder, where did the crowd come from? Where God works in different ways. Mm-hmm. It's not the way we think that we want to do it. God works in different ways. When God stirs up your heart, you move with him, move along with him. Amen. If you're speaking something, you know, God is always looking for someone who is get hold of what he's saying. Yeah. If you get hold of what he's saying, believe it. Yes. Move with him. Yes. Miracles will begin to happen in our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. Yes. So the Lord is stirring up jealousy. God is God of jealousy. Yes. He cannot share his glory with another. Isaiah 42 verse 13 says this: the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yeah, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Yes. Now that does not mean that God shall cry like, you know, defeated. There's a cry of war. There's a cry of war. There's a cry of victory. There's a cry of war that God is causing in the church, causing in his people. There's a cry of war. The Bible says, he shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry. He shall prevail against his enemies. Praise the name of the Lord. Yes. Oh, glory to God. So one of the things, number one, God is causing us to leave our familiar grounds. And how is he doing that? By encouraging us to fly. Encouraging us to fly. Get out of your nest and begin to fly. And one thing I've learned is that God talks to us individually. Yes. And sometimes as a church, he talks to us collectively, you know, as a church. Mm-hmm. But God is more interested with an individual. Because if, as a person, I can yield, it will be easier for God to move. Someone say in our church, someone came and So, well, in this church, you don't have vision. I said, no, we don't have a vision. So, you know, it depends on how you see things. You look at things. Because we have a personal vision and we have a corporate vision. So, a personal vision will contribute to the corporate vision. If you don't have a personal vision, you can't contribute to a corporate vision. So you can't say, well, I have a vision. Let me put it this way. You can't be able to contribute to the corporate vision until you personally have a vision. That's why it's very important as a person to have a vision, to move with God, to move on with God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
So let me see if I can come to almost the end of this thing. Glory to God. You know, I'm from Africa and I'm always long-winded, they say. So I'll try to. Blessed are those who preach short messages, for they shall be invited again. Oh, glory to God. What happened when our hearts are stirred up? The Lord brings the spirit of prayer in the church. You know, the attitude of prayer in the body of Christ.
Right.
Prayer changes things.
Yeah.
And the church must be encouraged. We must be encouraged that to move higher, we must pray. And when we pray, God fulfills his will and his purposes and things that he promised us to do. When our hearts are stirred up in him, we live whole lives that are pleasing to him.
Yes.
When our hearts are stirred up, we become more liberal, even our giving. When our hearts are stirred up, we begin to evangelize, to take the gospel to the unreached. Because we think of our hearts are stirred, we think of the Lord. We don't just think about ourselves. And God's desire becomes our desire to take the gospel or to share his love with others. When our hearts are stirred, our first love is restored.
Yeah.
We love the Lord with all our hearts. Yeah. When our hearts are stirred, we move in love and in forgiveness because our hearts are stirred towards God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes.
So, why is God causing us to stirring our hearts? We said, number one, we said, to move us from one place to another, to a higher place in God, to a higher place in God. In other words, it's time to change. It's time to change from a comfortable zone to a higher God, higher place in God. It's time to move from one place to another place. It's time to move from where we are used to being to another place. Another thing that happens, that happened in this scripture that we just read, they put their priorities first. Now, when we see Zerubbabel left his comfort zone, number two, he put his priorities first. Put his priorities right. And it's very important to identify priorities as a believer. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad that I'm a preacher today. And you know, if you're a preacher, you become God's spokesman. And sometimes it feels that... what do you have? Put it this way. I'm trying to put it the way America will put it. What business do you have telling us that? But as a preacher, the preacher's work is to remind us. It does not mean necessarily that you don't know what I'm talking about. It's just a reminder of what the Lord has already said.
Yes.
Because you can never preach any new thing. There's nothing new that you can preach in this world. So what I'm saying is not that you've never had it. It's not that you don't know it. You know it. But the work of the preacher is to remind us. And the Bible says that we should not forget, neglect the gathering of ourselves together,
right,
as the manner of many is.
Yes.
Because in so doing, what do? We encourage one another.
Yeah.
We exhort one another. And we remind one another that day is approaching.
Yeah, right.
So that's the purpose of our coming together. And so we need to identify priorities. Some of the priorities in the New Testament, as a church, is to identify the dynamics of a local church. What are the dynamics of a local church? And we find this in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 42 and 44. 44. And they continued steadfastly, the Bible says, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayer, and the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. What did they do? They continued.
Amen.
They continued.
Amen.
Steadfastly.
Amen.
They didn't cease. They went on and Amen. On in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer.
Those
are the dynamics of the local church.
You
know, we can't do without them. That's what the first church did. That's what we need to do. And that's what we do.
Yeah.
And when this as a church becomes a priority to us as a body, it's a body of Christ, the body becomes a priority, then things will be even easier to move. Praise the name of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I pastor, and people... This is what I found out, is we need the grace of God to do what we've been called to do.
Yeah.
Without the grace of God, we cannot fulfill what we've been called to do. We can get tired a little bit along the way. Mm-hmm. God has not called us to stop on the way, but to finish what he has begun us.
Right.
Because the Bible says, he who began a good work is faithful to finish, to accomplish it.
Yes.
So I've learned as a pastor that the work is not mine.
That's right.
The church is not mine.
Right. Yeah.
The people are not mine. They belong to God.
Yes.
The work belongs to God. The church belongs to God. Everything is his.
That's right.
And sometimes I've reached a time when I really get stressed. And I never knew about stress until the ministry began, you know, growing and things like that. Because people used to talk about stress. Say, what is that? What is stress? What is stress? I used to think it's just, you know, I don't know what kind of feeling it was. But then I began, oh, this is what it is. It can kill you. Then I learned. As you know, as praying, you know, there's a time when things were really not working for me. Things were not really working. Not working at all. Lord, what do I do? If I give up, resign, the whole thing will just collapse. Because I don't think, you know, there was nobody ready at that time to take, you know, to do anything. What do I do? The Lord spoke to me. Why die for the church which I've already died for?
Absolutely.
You know, Christ has already died for his church.
Right.
Why should we die for that? For the same church? And then I learned to relinquish and to leave it to the Lord. I said, Lord, whatever you want, you do it. The needs are so many, overwhelming. But it is your work. I'll do my part and leave the rest to you.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, I learned that I think it's everywhere. I mean, America is different. But in Africa, as a minister, it's very hard. Why is it hard? Because You know, you have so many needs. Everybody coming to you. Oh, Pastor, pray for me. I need this. Oh, Pastor, I went without food. Oh, Pastor, this and this happening. Oh, Pastor, what and what? And mostly needs. Just went without food. Someone says this and that happened. This and that happened. And this and that happened. You know, you can't help people. You can't meet people's needs. It is God who meets with our needs. Because actually he gave himself for that. That's why he came. He came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So the needs can be met by God himself and not us. And so one of the things that I just want to encourage, I don't know if I'm encouraging, whoever I'm encouraging, to give in. Give up. So that God may take over. Take control, have control over things, over your life, over what you are doing, over your business, over your work, over your family. Give him and let him take over. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, and sometimes I find it, you know, when things need to move this way, they don't move the way you want. You want this to move, then you leave it to God. Amen. Just identify priorities. What are the priorities? Amen. In the church, doctrine. Preach the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Preach the word. Yeah. Why the priorities? Fellowship. Amen. Fellowship. Break bread. Amen. Together. What are the priorities? Prayer. When you have done all that you have done, the Bible says, stand.
Yes.
Stand. And let watch the Lord fight your battles. Amen. The Lord do the rest. Oh, glory to God. So, they worshipped. They came together for worship. Worshippers are fruitful. People who worship the Lord, they are fruitful. They produce fruits. Worship produces intimacy with the Lord. When we spend time with him, because our lives actually is worship, when we spend time with him, we become like him. Worship brings the power of God in our lives and brings the power of God on the scene. And worship us, causes us or makes us to grow up in the Lord. So those are some of the priorities in the church, but God is bringing, is causing the church first to be stirred up. It's a stirring that God is causing the church. And how does this stirring come up? When we begin to seek the face of God. We begin to follow what he wants us to follow. Yes. Do what he wants us to do. Do what you can, leave what you can't. And the Lord will do the rest. It's not. The Bible says his yoke is easy.
Yes.
And his burden is light. Yes. Sometimes we carry on what we should not carry on. That's we should not carry on what we should. What is not ours. Carry your burden. Carry all you can carry. Leave the rest to the Lord. And the Lord will have his way in our lives.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, we bless your name, Lord.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We glorify your name. We thank you, Father, for stirring in the hearts of your servants just the way the Lord stirred up the heart of Cyrus, the heart of Zerubbabel, the heart of Joshua, and the elders and the leaders and the people, Lord, to go up and build the house. It was not easy for them. But Lord, when their hearts were stirred up, they went against anything that was standing before them, against every resistance to do the will of God. And Father, I pray this day in the name of the Lord, that Lord, our hearts will be stirred up to follow right hard after you. Our hearts will be stirred up to do your will and to fulfill your will and your purposes. We give up, Father God, every fight. Lord God, we give up so that you may take over in the name of the Lord. We refuse to do it our own way. Lord, we want you to do it your way.
Yes.
We want you, Father, to move by your power and by your spirit.
Yes,
yes, Lord, we thank you, Father, that the church belongs to you.
Yes.
We belong to you. What we have belongs to you. Our families belong to you.
Yes.
Our work, our jobs belong
yes.
to you. We leave it to you. Father, we thank you, Father. What we shall do, we shall stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Oh, we thank you, Father, for healing in the house, Lord. Lord, we just speak healing. Yes, Lord, in the name of the Lord. Let there be healing in the lives of your people, Lord. Those who need healing, our friends and relatives, and those even in the house today. Lord, we pray, stretch forth your hand to heal. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. The signs and wonders are being done.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, by the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this church. Lord, I pray. Lord, you continue to bless them, Lord. You continue, Father, to flow through this place and to touch through this place. Thank you for Pastor Stan, Sister Connie, Lord, the rest of the leadership in this church and the congregation. Lord, we pray that, Lord, your hand will continue to be upon them. The Lord God, your word will continue to be real in this place. Lord God, that you're renewing their strength to mount up with wings as of eagles. You're causing them, Father God, to fly higher in you, Father God. And Father, we thank you for the love that they shed abroad in their hearts, Lord. What you have done through them, what you continue to do through this church. Lord, bless them abundantly. Bless them abundantly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord.
Yes, yes.
And we give you honor, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that through this place you touch this community. Through this church, Lord, you touch the neighborhood and our neighbors and our friends and even the people we don't know. Lord, you say that, ask me, I'll give you nations for your inheritance. Lord, we thank you. The nations are coming.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Father, that they are coming.
Yes.
Sons and daughters from far are coming in the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. For we lift up our eyes to see and to behold that which you are doing. We give you praise.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Praise your Lord.
Yeah.
Praise
your Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah. That was the word for us.
Yeah.
That is the word for us.
Yeah.
When you told me what you were going to speak this morning, I got peace about it because we needed to hear that.
Yeah.
I know we needed to.
Yeah.
And you probably put it better than I. Praise the Lord. I want to comment a couple of things on this, on what the Lord has already spoken to me early this morning. And that is that let me ask you a question. How do you know when the Lord is stirring? When you become uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Is that bill collectors or that's health issues or is it stress, worry? Can be. God can use nearly anything to stir you. But one of the things he said was war cry of the Lord. God's war cry. Most of the time when we... let me say it this way. When God's had enough, we need to know it.
Yes.
To me, that's what the stirring of God is when the Lord's had enough. I don't care if it's health issues. I don't care if it's finances. I don't care if it's stress. I don't care what it is. Do you understand that God is our Lord and Savior is forever watching over? And I get aggravated at my wife sometimes because of her worry and because of her stress, the foolishness of that, because that puts worry and stress on me. Do you understand that relationship? How much more so us as the bride of Christ? And when God the Father looks over this situation, relationship, sometimes he says, that's enough. Isn't that what fathers do? They step in and say, that's enough. Then you'll know it's the stirring of the Lord. It doesn't always have to be anger. It can be compassion. It can be a lot of forms. It's what one of the things he talks about is God does things in different ways. We try to put him in his in a box, and we don't own one that's big enough.
That's right.
That's the problem. We try to put him in a small one. It doesn't work. I noticed this morning, I went out, got in the hot tub. God, I need to talk to you. You need to talk to me. Not because I'm under some kind of stress or worry. I just had that feeling. It was time to talk. And so to hear God talk, you got to be quiet.
That's right.
So what happens? You get quiet, and 1,000 voices are there. What are the voices? The things you need to do. By whose decision do you need to do that? Well, it's mostly mine and yours. Yep. You try to put stuff on me. I try to put stuff on me, vice versa. And I caught myself going, that's not God's voice. No, no, no. That's confusion. That's not God. God, I need to hear from you. You're putting yourself. Do you understand that the greatest form of worship is you being quiet?
That's right.
It's not you yelling. It's you actually bowing yourself. Now, I don't mean get on the floor. If that's what it takes, that's fine. But it's you stopping you for God. Greatest form of worship. It's not the house deal that's coming up. It's not the business deal that's not coming up. It's not the next church that you've got to go to. It's none of those things. It's not a sick relative or a friend that's in need. It's not your wife needing to do whatever she needs to do. It's all of that stuff comes to a screeching halt so that you can hear what God has to say. That's what you were really saying about the stress in the church. How many needs? I can look at one person, and how many needs do you represent? I don't want to know. See, I have to say, I don't want to know. You've heard me say this in many ways. I don't need your worries. I don't even want to hear about them. I know who God, I know who does want to hear about them. You tell him. Now, if I can say that to you, then I must be able to say it to me. Stan, you shut up. I don't want to hear your problems. I want to hear what God has to say. God said some things to me and just got me all riled up. That was the reason I thought you were going to have to listen for a while, because I wasn't too sure I could be quiet. Now, do we want to know the direction of God?
Yes.
How are we going to find that out? Okay. And I'll give you, you know me, I always give crude examples. I never have nice, frilly ones. They're always kind of... But I got out of that hot tub all riled up. And I knew what God had said to me. You want to know what I want? You ask me and listen to me. You keep your eyes on me. I told you last Sunday on our 10th anniversary, I think it was last Sunday, that I said one of the things that I was to tell that church, that which was already my church because God said, I'm going to give it to you. Remember that? He said, look at that snow falling. Look at the light. Remember that? Look at the light. As long as you look at the light, you'll see the blessings fall. Look anywhere else and you can't see the blessings.
Right.
He was reminded. I was reminded of that this morning by God. He said, you haven't been looking at me. You've been looking at all those problems and all those situations. Mm-hmm. You want to know the solution? I am the solution. You'll have to look at me.
Praise God. Yes.
You'll never see the solution by looking at the problem.
That's right.
You understand that? You can write that down because that's memorable.
Yeah.
You'll never see the solution by looking at the problem. Now, I walk in the house, and I take off my swimsuit. I'm standing there dripping. My wife is doing things. She's walking around me. I'm standing there holding this swimsuit. Now, I'm naked. That ought to cause some attention. And she's walking around me doing things, and I'm standing there. And I know by the Spirit of God what God's trying to tell me. That's me. She's me. God's standing right in the middle of everything I'm doing, and I'm walking around doing. And I said, do I have a need here, Connie? Now, I don't know what's going through her mind. Well, you need a towel? Look at me. Do I have a need? Because we always hang, we always take the swimsuits out and hang them on the rail on the outside so they'll dry fast. They'll dry fast on the inside. It took her for a little while, and she said, well, you want me to put the suit outside? I said, there, you got it. You got it. Now, you guys, this is not male chauvinism. This is the way God is. When God has a need, he really doesn't want to chase you down.
Right.
He wants you to see it.
Yes.
Right? And I can't see that if I'm looking at anything else but him.
That's right.
And that's what I told her. You can't see what I have need of if you're looking at anything else but me. If you want to know what I have need of, look at me. It's, I don't want to be, I don't want to say it's self-evident, but it basically is. So if I want to know what God wants me to do, what do I need to look at?
Yeah.
Now what I'm talking about is how God stirred my spirit this morning. That's how he stirred me this morning. And I think about the things that you share with me, and I think about the things that I see, and the things that I'm going through with me. And the reason is because I'm busy looking at that instead of him. He said some of the exact same things I needed to say. Church is not mine. Let me tell you how strong he spoke to me this morning. I don't care about you. I'm not going to do anything for you. Now, come on, this is taking it further than we like to hear. But I'm not here to do anything for you. I'm here to do something for the Lord. That doesn't mean I don't care about you. That doesn't mean that at all. If you really want to see me care, first I have to not care about you. Then I'm free to do what God asked me to do, which is caring for you. But if I care for you, then I can't care for him. That means I'm really not caring for you.
Amen.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
He said priorities. That's exactly right. My priority cannot be pastor of a church. It cannot be the head of a business. It cannot be what I think it should be. It has to be what he thinks it should be.
Yes.
I'm telling you, listen to what he said this morning. Listen to what I'm saying right now, and you got the answer to life.
Yeah.
I need to listen. We got the answer to life here. I cannot respond to my wife's pressure under any conditions. I must first put the Lord first, and then I become the pressure in the house. That's what church leadership is about. Do you know that?
Yeah.
It has to start here. I cannot look at you and begin to pray for you. I have to look at God, and if he says pray for you, then I can do that.
Yeah.
But I'm out of order if I pray for you without first looking to him. Because then I pray amiss, the Bible says. I pray amiss. This is exciting, what I'm telling you.
Amen.
It's exciting. You know how free we can be? No stress. I like that he didn't understand, and now he does. He needs to get the understanding gone again. I need to understand. Don't be familiar with stress. If I could just learn, and I once again, a crude example. If I can learn to say, you wait a minute. You just wait a minute. And walk away from the thing that I love the most on this earth, then I can learn to love the most. Wait a minute. Just wait a minute. I know you want, and I know you feel, and I know you want to say, but be quiet for a minute. Just be quiet. Why? Because I got to go listen to something else first. I got to go listen to God first. Right?
Amen.
Nothing what I'm trying to say, and he mentioned it. God's a jealous God. We don't even take that serious. We use that flippantly. Have you ever worked with a jealous person? You ever been around a jealous person? You watch what you say. You watch how you act. You're cautious. Otherwise, that green-eyed monster will come out bad. The difference is, this is not a bad jealous. This is a good jealous.
Yes.
God says, I am a jealous God. What does that mean? I want you more than anything else. Can you imagine God saying that to you? Well, the only way you can imagine that is for you to understand you're the only person on the face of the earth that he wants to speak to for that moment. Can you imagine that? God asked me out to the hot tub so we could talk this morning. He asked me out there. Usually I go out, but he asked me out there this morning. And then through some things that happened today, even through this message, makes me realize how much he loves me and how much I can do if I first love him. Listen to what I'm saying. I cannot work for God unless I first love him.
Yes.
You like some crude talk? I'll give you some crude talk. I go to my wife this last two Sundays, and I tell her, church is going to be a lot better if we have sex before we go. You know what's coming out of me? What's coming out of me is what God is saying to me. You be intimate with me and watch church get good.
Amen. Amen.
Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. Talk about stress. It goes away in intimacy.
Yeah.
Now I'm free. I'm relaxed. I can do whatever I need to do because I'm not putting on a show for nobody. Mm-hmm. The show's already happened.
Amen.
Come on, listen to me now.
Yeah.
If I talk to God first, nothing else matters. Amen?
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Laugh at what you will. I'm speaking of spiritual things this morning.
Yeah.
I'm speaking of spiritual things. This man was speaking of spiritual things this
yeah.
morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Right from the heart of God, confirmed by the mouth of two witnesses, not one. Amen?
Yes.
I think we're getting shoved out of the nest a little bit.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody comes and tells me, quit caring about your wife so much, care about me so much, that's God pushing you out of the nest.
Yes. Amen.
You're comfortable. You've got to, especially in a husband and wife relationship, you kind of get in this, it always goes the same. God doesn't want it that way.
Amen.
He wants to rattle us and shake us a little bit because we have a relationship with him that's more intimate and more strong than a relationship with our spouse. Amen?
Yes.
Let's seek God first. And I promise you, he'll stir your heart.
Yes.
Seek him first, and he will stir your heart.
Yeah.
And I took notes on the rest. I got to look at them again about what's going to happen then. But I just want the stirring.
Yeah.
I'll go for the other. But, man, I want God to stir those waters. I want him to stir that heart every day. You hear me? I want that. Do you want that? Because when we begin to want that corporately, the surrounding community is going to want us. Because they don't want us. They want God. They just don't know that they look at us and say, we want you. But that's not what they want. They want God.
Yeah,
and they see that in us.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And I'm so thankful that we can help in the work over there.
Amen.
And I'm more thankful right now that you come over here and help us.
Good.
Amen? Hallelujah. All right. All hearts clear? All hearts clear? All right, why don't we stand?
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. I know what she said.
Sit back down. But don't sit on your wallet. We need to take up a special offering for this man of God. And I like it when Pastor Justice said, when we can't listen, he speaks through others. Sometimes to us. Amen?
Yes.
All right. This is not your tithe. This is not your offering. This is a love offering to this man, to this ministry. So basically to God. You got a check?
Yeah. Again, just make it to the church and then the church will.
Oh, yeah. Make your checks to the church and we'll take this and give it to him in form of one check. All right. Do I need to give you? Do you need a cash offering envelope? Anybody needs a cash offering envelope? My mouth needs to work too. Go ahead and ask for one. Raise your hand. You know, while they're doing that, do you remember what happened the last time you were in our church? Mm-hmm. What happened? What was a major thing that should stick out?
Something happened to someone. Didn't we have to pray for him?
Yeah.
And it was, they called 911.
Yeah.
Came to the hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
That was Bill, the one that's walking the other direction. I was... Never understand why God does things when he does. You understand that? Sometimes we question and we should not.
That's right.
Now, God's done a lot of things since that time. His sister died just recently. His sister died. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I want you to understand something. We've been preaching faith. We believe in healing around here, Pastor. We believe that. We believe that God wants to heal everybody that's the least bit interested in being healed. That means if you got a little faith. Recently, he sat with his sister a number of weeks before she died. And we were concerned in the spirit, concerned about his faith. Because that's a testing of our faith. It's promised to come, but we don't want to see it. Right? And he said to me, one day in the hospital, he was all excited. He's encouraged in God, and he was preaching to me. It's a good sermon. Preaching to everybody that walked in.
Yes.
Everybody that's standing and listening, he's preaching.
Yes, sir.
About how good God was and how he believed he's going to be. She was healed. And one day he got a good message to me, and he said, "You never thought I was listening, but I listened."
Man.
You hear me? That I remember that because that encouraged me so much. No matter what we see, I don't care if somebody acts like it was the opposite of what you were preaching. Somebody's seeing and somebody's
right.
listening.
That's
because
right.
Let me tell you what we don't do. We don't stand as messengers of God impotent.
That's right. That's right.
The devil wants to make us feel impotent when we preach.
Yeah.
Like you're just talking to the wind. Nobody's listening. One of those people in a time of stress said, "You didn't think I was listening. I was listening."
That's right. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of people listening, Pastor.
Amen.
A lot of people listening. Who are they listening to? Well, you pray to God, it's God. It's not you. Amen?
Amen.
And signs and wonders. You know, here's the thing about signs and wonders. We want them to happen right then.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that God doesn't have a clock, so he doesn't even understand what right then means. It happen when he says they happen.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, let's receive that offering for him. Let me see that check. Praise the Lord. All right, Father, we thank you for this message today from you through this man. We thank you for your message totally, your words from your heart. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to receive an offering and give unto him. Now, we know this offering is not enough. I don't care how big it is. It's not enough for our hearts. But we know how much you can take one little loaf and fish and turn it into something mighty. So since it can't please us in the physical, it pleases us in the spirit for you to make to multiply it, not only in our hands, but in his hands much more. And then when it's all said and done, there is much left over.
Yes.
We command that on this offering today in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees and believes says amen.
Amen.
Hello. Hello. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now stand with us. Once again, we remind you we're going to have some more food after this food.
Yeah.
Y'all stay and enjoy. Father, again, we thank you. And I ask you now for that sign and wonder following that in his absence, he'll have tremendous reports.
Yes.
They'll be so tremendous, it will nearly make him jealous.
Yes.
Wondering if he's really needed, and that's not the case. The signs and wonders are following, even if he's not standing there looking.
Yes.
Let him be more confident in you, more bold in you. and accomplish more miracles for you, for the kingdom of the living God, with our blessing and our agreement, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all dismissed.